Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We can't be saved by a system. We can make life run a little smoother for us, but we can't be saved by it. We can't have hope by the things of the world, and your hope shouldn't be in a message I deliver. I try not to carry that weight. It's the Word of God, and then I'm teaching it, but it's God's Word that you need, and not just from the pulpit on Sundays once a week. You've got this, and you're to seek the Lord. You're to be used by Him each and every day. Jesus helps those who cannot help themselves. You know, there's a saying, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. He helps us because we're helpless.
Have you ever been working on a task and come to the end of your knowledge or ability? It's very frustrating, isn't it? No one likes to admit that they don't know everything about everything, even though they know that they don't know everything. This is especially true about life. Life's so vast, with so many choices, both good and bad. How do you make your way through it successfully? Well, Pastor Troy's teaching today will introduce you to the person who could show you the way through your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You see, when the Lord comes into our life, a lot changes. Salvation comes to a life, and that life changes. We go through this process of starting to learn to think differently, see things differently, experience things differently. We laugh at different things than we used to. And other things we used to find funny aren't as funny. We're changing. We're growing. And that means that you begin to live right according to God's ways, not ours. In Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing. People are inspired. But they start asking the question, well, what must we do to be saved? And so John tells them some practical things that they need to do in order not to be saved, but to live a righteous life, to live the right way. He tells to many of them in the crowd, hey, if you've got two tunics, share with the one who has none. In other words, don't hoard up for yourself things. Then he said, oh, tax collectors, I got something for you too. The tax collectors said, what about us? He said, don't collect extra, because that's what they were lining their pockets with. That was just part of the job. That was why you wanted the gig. And so he says, don't collect more than you're supposed to. Like, whoa, 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 that's lifestyle change there. I don't know if I'm in for that. The soldiers, oh, he got onto them too. You gotta love John the Baptist. He, equal opportunity. He got on everybody. He didn't care. The king, he didn't care. So the soldiers, he told them, don't intimidate and don't accuse falsely. Because that's what they would do. Hey, carry this. And boy, and they were abusing their privileges, their position. Said, you guys got to stop that. If it's not been given by God, then you don't get it. Don't take advantage. And also to be content with their wages. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Let me read that. That's for all of us. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. In other words, anger is going to happen. We get frustrated over things. But don't blow your top. Don't throw the pencil across the room or the remote control. Don't blow up. Don't do things you shouldn't. Don't say things you shouldn't. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Reconcile very quickly. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Why? Because that's what we're called to do, to come and minister. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. So being gracious with your words, not being caught up in coarse language or coarse joking or any of that stuff, but building up instead of tearing down. And do not, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That is, the Holy Spirit's leading us to victory. We know I'm going to do this. And the Holy Spirit's like, man, I'm grieved because we could have had victory and I'm in your body. I'm not happy with this. We want to obey the Lord. Obey the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And let all bitterness, verse 31, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Anyone who's holding onto a grudge about someone else, they just can't say something nice, they always throw in a jab, you know, whatever it is. Anyone who's holding on to bitterness and a grudge, that person needs to get right with God in an area of their life. We should not be holding those things. That's not forgiveness, and it certainly doesn't show that I understand what I have been forgiven when I hold something over someone else's head. Now look, you got to wise up. Somebody does you wrong, you don't hang out with them. Somebody takes advantage of you, you don't keep giving them money. Well, I forgive you. Here's another $100. I lost it again. Can I have another? Well, I forgive you. Here's another $100. No, that's foolishness. You forgive them, but you don't keep enabling them. You don't keep giving them the money. So we have to learn to think differently, see differently ourselves. And then sometimes when we're giving this hope to others, we guide them a little bit with truth and love to help them see the things that they need to right their course. It gives them hope when they see that there's another way. It's why you should open up your home. Well, let me preface that. If your life is in order, then open up. If your life's a mess, don't go, yeah, look, man, this has destroyed my life, but I hold on to it. If your life is in order and God's getting your life in order, then you invite people and let them see. You don't do it to be a showman, but when they're in your home, they'll go, where's all your videos? Where's your TV? You know, whatever it is that God's been doing in your life, and they'll see a different way of living. Hey, your home so nice and quiet. There's no arguing. And the kids actually obey. Is that just for show? Like they knew we were coming over? No. They don't always obey. But when they don't obey, they get in trouble. And so they know there's a consequence and that's why they obey. Trust me. Left to themselves, they'd be just as disobedient as anybody else. That's what's in their heart. But we make sure they know that you can't live in this world this way, and you certainly can't honor the Lord this way. So we have discipline in our homes. And they go, well, what do you mean by discipline? I don't think spanking is good. And then you can share with them what God has done in your life, how you may raise up or discipline or whatever it is, the kids, and maybe they can learn something. And you give them hope. I never tried that. I never saw it that way. So to bring hope to the hopeless, we must also be willing to confront honestly at times. And then verse 9, finishing up here. And that day was the Sabbath. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Finally, when you do this and you're just trying to give hope in the world, you know what you can expect? You can expect adversity. You can expect it. When we're helping them, it doesn't look like we're always helping them when you do some of the things that we do. Like say, well, you need to get to church. I don't need to get to church. I just wait to get money and all this stuff. Well, what I mean is we know what it means, right? We don't mean church is salvation. What we're really trying to say is you need to get in your Bible. You need to be around God's people. You need to study and hear the word of God being taught. You need to take in and be around God's people. That's kind of what we're really saying. We know it's not come to these four walls. But they don't hear what they want to hear. They want to hear, I need money. Give me money. Well, why don't you take your heart to the Lord? Why don't you get back in good graces with the Lord? And they think that's mean. John mentions the Sabbath day. And as soon as he mentions the Sabbath day, the whole tone of everything changes. You know why? Because the Jews cared more about what the people were supposed to do or not do than they cared about the people themselves. They were very rigid. What should have been a cause for rejoicing with this guy, he's walking around. I mean, all these years. And now he's carrying his mat, walking around, thankful. And what do they see? Well, this doesn't fit into their little theological box. He walks up, look, I can walk. And instead of going, this is amazing, they go, you're carrying your mat. It's the Sabbath, dude. What's up? Like, you cannot celebrate and enjoy this and rejoice in this because of my mat? See, that's where legalism destroys everything. The most miserable Christians to be around are those who have all of these lists of what should and shouldn't be done, and they can't celebrate anything when they see something unchecked. And usually it's their own list. They always fit into their own list best. It's kind of tailored to them, you know, tailored to what they've done and what they've sacrificed and what they've gone through. And then everybody fits into that. And they're miserable because no one's like them. And they're miserable to be around too, because they just want to talk about what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what they've been doing. And it's like coming together in Christ. We come together for church and, yeah, I'm not happy anymore at all. I'm godly now. Like, wow, that's the goal for me. I just want to be there and just get rid of my happiness. The scripture talks about joy. This joy exceeds happiness. We're full, we're happy, we're excited. Like this guy who was able to walk, he rejoiced. Yes, he broke their law. He carried something on the Sabbath that was heavier than they, not God, than they had established that he should carry. So yes, culturally, he broke some tradition, some law.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
He wasn't thinking about it. He wasn't trying to violate anything. That wasn't his heart. He was rejoicing. The man said, take up my mat and walk. I'm walking. I'm happy. I don't even realize I have a mat. I got legs that work. And he was rejoicing, but they couldn't see that. They were legalists that just sucked everything dry. That was never God's intention. But notice, though, so that's the legalist side. Then you got the other group. You got the other side that's just, let everyone be happy. You know, whatever, just be happy. No constraints, nothing, no rules, nothing. You got that side. But notice that Jesus says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What could be worse than what he'd already gone through? He couldn't walk all these years. Well, I'll tell you what could be worse, and that's eternal suffering. Eternal separation from God. See, that's the result of unrepentant sin. When God touches a person's life, it should change that life. In fact, that life becomes accountable to God for what has happened. You know that God has done this. You are accountable to God, and yet you still continue to live like there is no God. That's a scary place to be. And so Jesus tells this man who had been touched, or he walked. He says, now go and sin no more. Now you're accountable. And when you go out there, you live the way you should live as a person who walks now. Don't show up at the Pool of Bethesda next week living the way you used to, begging for money, not doing anything. Now you can walk and work. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You see, the disease may have robbed this guy from the better part of his years, but sin will rob him of his eternity. It's definitely the worst. Bringing hope, that means we care for souls more than we care for the body. And the world is just looking at how we treat the body. Just give them some money. Why do you got to preach Jesus? Stop that. Just give them money. We can't do that. Everything that we do is to point to Christ. We're not enablers. The church, we're not enablers. We're not called to be enablers. We're called to point to Christ. When we help, we point them to Christ. We don't buy them into the church. Hey, come to church next week. We'll have candy bars for you. Angel food cake. Just come to church. You don't buy people. But when we do help them, we want to point them to Christ. Now look, I'm not going to keep giving you money. There's a program, there's a way, there's this, you can do that. But I will definitely walk with you and let you go the right direction, show you the right direction, and turn you loose to Jesus. Let Him help you. But I'll walk with you as long as the Lord wants me to help you out and move this direction. But when you're not moving that direction, I have nothing for you. I can't enable you, because that'd be the worst thing for you. So because we care more about souls, and that's the goal, that's the aim, sometimes we don't look as loving, even though we are. It doesn't seem loving to say to someone, God doesn't want you to live that way, so you need to stop. That's the problem. No, it's not the problem. It's fine. That's just you Christians. You're narrow. It doesn't sound loving, does it? But it could not be more loving. And it's hard for us to say those things. We don't want to be the bad guy. But this is God's word and not my thoughts that I'm bringing. It doesn't sound loving when we tell someone, hey, you're always making excuses. You need to just get to work and be on time and you'll stop getting fired. You need to be faithful. That's what it is. Don't keep praying God gives you another job and this one didn't work out. Look, you're inconsistent. Sometimes there's a hard word that's necessary to confront. And they need to hear the truth in love, but to point them to Christ. Hey, if you can't get up in the morning, the Lord will help you. You need to probably take care of the evening. Seek the Lord. I can't be every answer for you, but I can point you to the Lord. And it doesn't seem loving to the world, who has found many ways to express kindness and generosity. All of these things, that humanitarian aid, all of these nice things, it doesn't sound loving to go to say, that's great, but you will not get into heaven because of those things. Jesus is the only way. It doesn't sound loving, but it's the truth. And there are times when we can expect adversity because we don't look like the world wants us to look, or the way people want us to look in our counsel. So we'll expect adversity from the legalist when we give grace. Get on them, pastor. This pastor, this person. Okay, and so what's the problem? Oh, you're going through that, and then you show a little compassion. They're upset at you for showing compassion. But then the other group, as soon as you tell them, hey, you need to be faithful, you need to do this. That's legalism, that's the law, you know. No, it's just what you got to do. If you want to keep a job, you can't just claim it. If you want to keep a job, you actually got to show up. You got to be there. And you can't take 10 days of leave after you've been there for 2 days. You've got to work. That's hard for some to hear, but it's the truth, and it will cause some adversity. So, what people need to hear from us, what they need to understand is that they're not to put their hope in religion, not our religion, not our church, but in Jesus. They're not to put their hope in a system of living life. I've got my system, my routines. They're good to have. I never forget my keys because I have a system. If I do something outside of my system, I have the potential to forget my keys. I don't like it when that happens, so I have a little system. They stay in my pocket till bedtime. They go in one place. In the morning, they go back in my pocket. They never go anywhere else. It's a perfect system for me. Don't make me change it. The Lord can do that if he wants to. I pray he doesn't. Works for me. But we can't be saved by a system. We can make life run a little smoother for us, but we can't be saved by it. We can't have hope by the things of the world, and your hope shouldn't be in a message I deliver. I try not to carry that weight. It's the Word of God, and then I'm teaching it, but it's God's Word that you need, and not just from the pulpit on Sundays once a week. You've got this, and you're to seek the Lord. You're to be used by Him each and every day. Jesus helps those who cannot help themselves. You know, there's a saying, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. He helps us because we're helpless. And so he steps in and he helps us. It doesn't always look like what we want, but he does help. And he wants to use you to bring hope to the hopeless as well. So as his ambassadors, again, as we opened up with, we're not bringing the gospel as an argument. Like, well, I believe in, and then there it's on. We're not bringing an argument. Also, I want to say this. We're not bringing or selling the world a retirement package. You cannot present the gospel as a retirement package. Like, don't you want heaven? I mean, hell is like this, and heaven is like this. Certainly you want heaven. Do you want to give your life to Christ? You go to heaven. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take package A. Okay, well, there you go. You're saved. Do you believe in Jesus? You got to believe in Jesus. I'll, whatever it takes. Okay, then you're saved, sanctified, everything. You're perfect. Oh, you just lied to them. You sold them a policy that doesn't exist. So you can't sell them a retirement package. You don't bring the gospel to argue. You know what we give? This makes evangelism and sharing so simple. You are simply called to bring hope. Where's the hope? In Jesus. Now, if they don't want the hope, you don't argue them into the hope. They've got to sense their need of another way, another choice, another option. What do I need to do? You need to follow Christ. You need to put your hope in Him. You need to trust in His ways. It's going to stay miserable. It's going to stay a mess. It's always going to be cyclical. And for some, it's a longer cycle. For some, it's a very short cycle. Like, hey, anger, hey. It's really fast. But the way to break that cycle and to have hope that things can change is only in Christ. We just deliver that. That's it. And if they ask more questions, well, how can I? Then you can say, well, here's how we did it. Or you can say, I know a couple that can help you. They went through the thing that you... Because we've all gone through some of the similar things. And that's why when you come to church, we need you. Because we talk to each other. And you've gone through something another couple needs help going through. We need you here. Oh, how many times have I talked to a couple and said, oh, I know this couple. Well, maybe they'll be here second service. No, they're not here second service. They must think you have to come to church. No, they're not here. But that's why we should come and want to be gathering together. Because God wants to use us. And nothing satisfies us more than being used by the living God.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your